This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, Shalom Aleichem, everyone. We're continuing in Daf HaShavua. We're learning Parak HaMadir, Mesach Teksubai, Daf Ayin Vav Amin Beis. The Gemara on the bottom of Ayin Vav Amin Aleph brought the following statement of Rabbi Huda in the name of Shmuel, one who exchanged a para with a chamar. So Reuven has a chamar, and Shimon has a donkey. And they're exchanging it. Reuven is exchanging his chamar for Shimon's donkey. Reuven pulls the cow, and when Shimon comes to take Reuven's donkey, the donkey's dead. And we don't know when the donkey died. Did the donkey die before Reuven pulled the cow? And in that case, Reuven gets to keep Shimon's cow. Or did the donkey die after Reuven pulled the cow? And then Shimon gets his cow back. Shimon is the Mari Kama on the cow. And the Gemara says, who has to bring a proof? Shimon, the owner of the donkey, has to prove that the donkey was... Reuven has to prove, the owner of the donkey has to prove that the donkey was alive at the time of his kinyan on the cow, but otherwise he cannot keep the cow. Reuven wants to keep Shimon's cow, but we say, Reuven, you need to prove that your donkey was alive at the time that you pulled the cow, because if the donkey was dead, then all bets are off. Now let's think about that for a moment. Reuven is trying to be able to keep Shimon's cow. Reuven is the owner of the donkey. He wants to make a kinyan on Shimon's cow. Shimon is the Mari Kama, the original owner of the cow. Now, what does Chazaka say in this case? Chazaka says the donkey was born alive. Cheskas Haguf should say that it died in the last possible time, and Reuven should be able to keep Shimon's cow. And yet we don't say that. We say that the Cheskas Mari Kama says Reuven cannot keep Shimon's cow. Shimon was the original owner of the cow, and we have to assume the donkey died before the transaction. And the Gemara says the Tana of our Mishnah supports this teaching of Shmuel, that basically Cheskas Haguf does not allow you to take away from a Mari Kama. The Cheskas Haguf says that the donkey died in the last possible time. It does not allow you to take the cow away from the original owner. The Tana, the Mishnah, supports this. Where? V'tana tunakala, the teaching by a kala who has a mum, supports this. Hi kala, what teaching of a kala? Ilema kala beves aviha. If we're talking about the first ruling of the Mishnah, namely... Now this is going according to Rabbi Eliezer, who holds Tavra Mishashanazu Loishanazu. And if Mumen are found in the girl, in the father's house, the father has to prove that the Mumen developed later. And not only that, even if they were found in the husband's house after Nisuin, the father has to prove they were not there the whole time. Even though Cheskas Haguf, think about it, Cheskas Haguf says they happen later. Nevertheless, the father has to prove that it happened later. Cheskas Haguf is not strong enough to be Moitzi Mamain from the husband. So that's sort of like the din of Hamachlef Parah B'Chamar, where Cheskas Haguf is not enough to take the cow away from Shimon. It's Shimon's cow, it's not enough to take it away from Shimon. Just like a Cheskas Haguf is not enough to take the money away from the husband, so too, Cheskas Haguf is not enough to take away the cow from Reuven. So says the Gemara, mi dami, is it similar? Is it similar? Hasa maisi avraya umapik. There, the father has to bring a proof and take the money away from the husband. So that's why the father has to bring a raya, because he has to be able to extract money from someone who's in possession of the money. He has to extract money from the husband. The husband is the muchzik on the money. But Mashen came when you exchange a cow for a donkey, the chazaka that probably the donkey died later, the chazakah is allowing you to keep what's already in your possession, namely the cow is in your possession. So you can't say the Mishnah proves cheskas haguf can't be mitzi mamoin from a muchzuk, so therefore it should not allow you to keep what's already in your possession. That doesn't support that din. From the Mishnah you just see cheskas haguf cannot allow you to take money out of the husband's possession. But where do you see that it doesn't allow you to keep what's already in your possession? Hacha, over here, maisi bala chamaraya. Here the owner of the donkey, Reuven, is going to bring a proof. Umukim, and he's going to keep the cow in his rishos. He needs to uphold it in his rishos. So therefore, just because in the Mishnah, cheskas haguf cannot be moitzi from the baal, because in the Mishnah, the father has to bring a proof, but why can't cheskas haguf keep the cow in the rishos of Reuven? So therefore the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Abba. Rabbi Abba says, Kala beveis chamiha. We're going to bring a proof from the second case of the Mishnah. The second case of the Mishnah, if you remember, goes like Ram and Gamliel. And what does that mean? It goes like Ram and Gamliel. The second case of the Mishnah is, according to Rabbi Lezer, which is Tavra, says that the husband has to bring a proof that the mumen were there to begin with, not only if the mumen were found after Nisuin, but even if they were found, Bevesavia, the husband has to prove that they were there from the beginning. Why does he have to... Which means, the husband has to bring a raya to be able to keep money that's in his rishus. Here he has money in his rishus. The money of the ksuba is in his rishus. And he has to bring a proof to that the mumen existed to begin with. So if Ram Gamliel holds, the husband has to bring a proof to be able to keep money in his rishus, then Reuven, the owner of the donkey, he should have to prove that the donkey was still alive in order to keep the cow that was Shimon's. In other words, we're saying like this, in the Seifa, if the husband has to bring a proof that if it falls on the Baal to prove the Mumin were there to begin with, to be able to keep money that's in his possession, Koshekain, the owner of the donkey, should have to prove that the donkey was alive to be able to keep a cow that doesn't belong to him, that was originally someone else's. If the husband has to be able to bring a proof to keep money that he owned the whole time, certainly Reuven should have to bring a proof that the donkey was alive to be able to keep a cow that was not his the whole time. So the Gemara says that's not a raya. Why? Because Hasam Baal Maisi Raya Umarale Lecheska Da'av. There, the husband's bringing a proof to be able to go against a cheskas haguf. So the reason why the husband has to bring a proof to keep money in his rishus is because he has to weaken the chazakah of the father, which is a cheskas haguf. That's why the husband has to bring a proof. Masha ein kein, Reuven, who's the owner of the donkey, the chazakah supports him. Maybe in the Mishnah, the husband has to bring a proof that the mumen were there before because the chazakah is against him. Maybe you only have to bring a proof when the chazakah is against you. In the Mishnah, the chazakah is against you. The chazakah says it happened. The mumen developed in the last possible time. That's why the husband has to bring a proof. Mashen kem hamachal para b'chamar. Who says you have to bring a proof when the chazakah supports you? The Reuven, who's the owner of the donkey, he's bringing a proof and to support the chazakah that's in his hand. Maybe he doesn't have to bring a proof in this case because the cheskas haguf of the donkey says the donkey was alive. So you can't bring a proof from the seifa. In the seifa, The reason the husband has to bring a proof is because it's fighting a cheskas haguf. Masha'in came by machla par b'chamar. The cheskas haguf is on the side of the owner of the chamar. So the Gemara goes back to say, really the proof is from the Reisha. Tala b'veis avia. We asked. There the father is bringing a proof to take away money. Who says you have to bring a proof to be able to keep something that's in your possession? Amar Nachman Yitzchak said, Kala b'veis avia. It's talking about where the Reisha, where it's going according to Rabbi Yehoshua, and the father has to bring a proof that the Mumin came later. Even when the Mumin were found in after Nesuin, however, you're saying the father's being Moitzi Mamain? No, we're not talking about the Ksuba money. Now we're talking about the father proving the Mumin were there later in order to be able to keep money that's already in his Rishus. What money is already in his Rishus? The money for the Kedushin. Because the husband gave the woman money, the money goes to the father. That money is in the father's Rishus, and we still say the father, despite the fact that there's a Cheskas Haguf, the father saying that the moment came later, the father has to prove it came later just to hold on to money that's already in his Rishus. So too, Reuven, the owner of the donkey, he has to prove the donkey was still alive. Even though Cheskas Haguf says it was still alive, he has to bring proof that he has to bring proof that the Mumin came. So too in the case of Machlef Parav B'chamar, he has to prove that the donkey was still alive to be able to keep the cow that's in his Rishus. Just like in our Mishnah in the first Tana, who holds that even if the Mumin were found after the Nesuin, the father has to prove that the Mumin came later to keep the money that's already in his possession. So too, the Baal HaChamar has to prove the Chamar was alive to keep the Para that's in his possession. Now, V'lo Yitema Aliva Demanda Amar Kedushin Lav L'Tibun Ninu. Don't say, this only fits in according to the opinion who holds that money of Kedushin are not given definitively. Maybe you'll say that the issue here, because basically there's a machloikas. Rashi explains, there's a machloikas whether money for Kedushin, is it given no matter what? What would be if you give money to one for Kedushin, and then the husband dies before the Nesuin? So could the family of the husband say, look, we only gave you the money for Kedushin? Or do we say, no, the money is given no matter what. So, the Gemara says, this is not only according to the Manda Amar that it's given definitively, that even, meaning this is not only according to the Manda Amar that it's not given definitively, that you have to give it back if the Nesuin ever comes to be, but Ella afilu man de'amar kedushin l'tibun nitnu, even according to the man de'amar, that the money for kedushin is given definitively. So you say if it's given definitively, so it's in the rishus of the father. No, hani mila kedushin vade. That's only if it's definite kedushin. Aval kedushin tas. But in our Mishnah, where there's a shaila about mumin, and maybe the kedushin was betas, it's a kedushin that maybe shenat bichal. So then we say it is incumbent on the father to bring a raya. Meaning, maybe you'll say that it only makes sense the father has to bring a raya that the mumin came later if money for kedushin is given the money for kedushin is not given definitively. So then we have to say, well, it's not given definitively. The father has to prove it's a good kedushin. No, even the koin teman d'amar kesef for kedushin is given definitively. The father has to bring a raya that the mumin came later, because everyone would agree that if there's a shaila about a ta'os in the kedushin, then the kedushin money goes back. Yimaisi raya in. If he brings a proof, yes. Iloi lai. Otherwise, not. Now, The Gemara now questions this. Why? So let's get this straight. We're bringing a proof, according to Rabbi Lezer, that the Reisha of the Mishnah is going like Rabbi Yeshua, and it is incumbent on the father to prove the Mumen came later, even in a situation where the Mumen were found, Beveis Habal, after the Nesuin. That means, despite the fact that Chazaka says the Mumen came later, it is incumbent on the father to prove that the Mumen came later, just to be able to hold on to the Kiddushin money that was already given to him. So too, if we exchange a cow for a donkey, and I'm the owner of the donkey, you're the owner of the cow, and I pull the cow, I should have to prove that the donkey was alive, despite the fact that Chazaka says the donkey was alive, to be able to hold on to this cow that's in my rishus. So the Gemara challenges
this. It's a no starter. The fact that it's a no starter, it's stronger than there being the Chazaka.
The fact that it's a no starter, well, because it's a kedushe toss, because
That seems to me that it's stronger than a hazaka. Just like by the animal, it's a no starter because the animal was dead on arrival. I mean, it could have been dead on arrival.
Right. It seems like, since there is a question whether the transaction was ever made, so we say it's incumbent on the Baal HaChamor to prove the Chamor was alive, even though Chazaka says it was alive, but it made, because we're not sure whether a kinyan was ever made, therefore the burden of proof is on the Baal HaChamor, even to hold on to something that's already in his Rishus, and that's learned out from the Mishnah, that the father has to prove that the Kiddushin was valid and there was no mum from before in order to hold on even to the Kesef Kiddushin. So Gemara has a question on this. Meisvei, we're talking about an animal that might be a trefa because a needle was found in the walls of one of the stomachs of the animal. If it pierced both if it pierced the wall completely, it's a trefa. If it only pierced one side, it's not a trefa. So machat shenimtzis ba'ovei beis hakoseis. A needle is found in the walls of the beis hakoseis, which is the second stomach. It's shaped like a cup. It's called a reticulum. So mitzad echagshera. If you could see the needle on one side, then the animal is not a trefa. It's kasher. Mishnei, it's done. If you could see it on two sides, trefa, the animal is a trefa. Nimsa aleha kairet dam. If you see a little kernel, granule, literally a granule, like a kairet of salt, if you see a little piece of blood on the needle, then you know biyadu shuluf nei shchita. Then you know it was there before shchita. You know it was, and it's a trefa. Lainim tzala kardam. But if you don't see blood on it, you do a shchita. You know that it came after shchita, and you're allowed to eat the animal. Huglad pi hamaka, if there's a scab on the opening of the maka, biyadu shishlosh yom kardam shchita. You know that the mum developed 3 days before shchita, and if, let's say, the one who's shechting it bought it within 3 days of shchita, so then, in other words, if he bought it within 3 days of shchita, so he was duped because the mum was there the whole time, so then it's a mekach tos. Loi hugla piyamaka, if there's no wound, if there is no scab on the wound, then we say hamotz mechaver of our alavaraya, the one who's trying to extract from his friend, he has the burden of proof. So in other words, this butcher, he bought the animal from a seller, and if we don't know, so he gave money for it, and he wants his money back. So the halach is, if we don't know when the mum developed, hametz mechaver of alavaraya, he has to prove the mum was there from the beginning. However, if he gave the money, says Gemara, if you have tabach money, if the butcher gave the money, so lalach is boy lasu raya mapik, he would have to bring a proof and extract the money. So he gave the money. The money is in the possession of the seller. And the butcher has to bring a proof. That means, even though Cheskas HaGuf says it happened later, we say he has to bring, Cheskas HaGuf says it happened later, he has to bring a proof to take the money away from from the seller. The seller gets to keep the money. Va'amai, according to Shmuel, the buyer has to bring proof, but maybe it was never valid to begin with. Doesn't Shmuel hold that even someone in possession of money, if there's a question whether the sale was good to begin with, they have to bring a proof that it was a valid sale, even just to keep what's already in their possession? The owner of the animal should have to bring a proof just to keep it in his rishus. So in other words, if we're talking, presumably the seller, presumably the seller has the money, and we say the buyer gave the money, and why would the buyer have to bring a proof to take away the money? The seller should have to bring a proof. The owner of the animal, the seller, should have to bring a proof to keep it, according to what we just learned. Because basically, we're saying that wherever the mum developed, it's upon them to prove that it was not there to begin with. Just like in the Mishnah, we say we're going according to Rabbi Yehoshua, and we're saying that if the mum developed in someone else's rishus, then it is responsibility of the father to bring a proof that it came later, in order even to keep some money that's already in his possession. Says Gemara, "B'dala yohav tabcha dami." We're talking about where the butcher did not give the money, so it's in his rishus, and the seller wants the money. So since the seller wants the money, so the halacha is since the seller wants the money, he has to bring the proof. Why? Because he's the mitzi in this case. So basically, the one who's shechting the animal is allowed to keep the money until we have a raya that it did not have a mum before. And so the Gemara says, why are you assuming the butcher didn't pay for it? My paska. Why are you assuming the butcher didn't pay for it? Says Gemara, Eliki Asa, Rami Bar Yecheskel Amar, when Rami Bar Yecheskel came, he said, Loi titzai sinu lahani kloli, do not pay attention to those rules, Dikayo Yehuda Achi, that Yehuda, my brother, established, Mishmei Dishmo, in the name of Shmuel. So when Rami Bar Yecheskel came to Bavel from Eretz Yisrael, he said, basically, don't pay attention to my brother Rabbi Yehuda, he's not reliable. Hachi Amar Shmuel. I'm going to tell you what Shmuel says. Kol shenoylat safek b'shusay alav haraya. Whoever's possession, the uncertainty arose in, he has to bring a proof that it didn't happen in his rishus. Just the opposite. So, basically, according to Rami Bar Yecheskel, Shmuel holds that in the case of Machlev Parah B'chamar, it's not the responsibility of the owner of the donkey to prove the donkey was alive. Just the opposite. The donkey is dead in the rishus of the owner of the cow. So the owner of the cow, he's the one who has to prove it. I mean, the question is, where is the Safek Noilad? In the case of Machlev Parah B'chamar, the Safek is Noilad in the rishus of the Baal HaParah. So the Baal HaParah has to prove that the donkey died before Reuven pulled the para.
Sorry, the donkey, but do we go by where the donkey actually is, or where the whole doubt arose from?
When did we have a shaila? What happened to the donkey? When the donkey was in the rishus of the Reuven already pulled the cow. Now there's a question, did Shimon, the question is, when did the donkey die? It's not in Reuven's rishus, it's sort of in Shimon's rishus.
Correct.
So it's like, Rashi says, it's like the suffix was noilad in Shimon's rishus, so the burden of proof is on Shimon. And where do we see that? We see that from the Mishnah. The Tana Tunakala, the Tana of the Mishnah, supports this. How so? Now, Rashi explains, we're going according to Rava, that both Shittais hold go like Ram Gamliel, and Rava is of the opinion, Kan Nimtzu, Kan Hoyu. Yeah? Rava Shita was, Kan Nimtzu, Kan Hoyu. Wherever the suffix arises, that's the one who has to bring a proof. So in the Reisha, where the suffix arose in the father's rishus, he has to bring a proof. In the Sefer, where the suffix arose in the husband's rishus, he has to bring a proof. So, and we're saying that that Mishnah supports a different view in Hamachla Par B'Chamar, namely, that it's on Shimon to prove that the Chamar died earlier. So the Gemara asks a question, Meisvei, we'll ask Machat Shinim says, if you have a needle that's found in the thickness of the reticulum, and what's the halacha? So we say, if there's a scab, so then, if it's Huglad Piyamaka, then it happened 3 days ago. If it's Loi Huglad Piyamaka, Hametz Mechever Aya, so now, what's the case? Presumably, V'idolayav Tabach Dami, if the butcher didn't give the money, and the butcher's holding on to the money, and the suffix arose now, what's the halach of the butcher didn't give the money? Bal Bahima Boila Surayo Mapik. The owner of the animal, he has to bring a raya and be able to hold on to the money. I'm sorry, he has to be able to bring a raya to be able to extract the money from the butcher. V'amai, why do we say that? Why do we say that the owner of the animal has to bring a proof? The butcher didn't give the money. The butcher is holding on to the money. Why does the Baal HaBehim have to bring a raya? Sveika b'shus tabach esyilid. But the suffix arose in the domain, in the possession of the butcher. So the butcher should have to bring a raya. Again, presumably the Gemara is assuming the cases where the butcher, where the owner of the animal did not get money yet. Right? The owner of the animal is selling it to the butcher. We're assuming the butcher did not give the money yet. And we're saying the owner of the animal, the butcher's buying it. And the owner of the animal has to prove that the animal did not have a mum when he gave it to the butcher. But at the end of the day, why does the owner of the animal have to bring a proof? The butcher should have to bring a proof because it arose in his rishus. So the Gemara says, Diyav tabach dami. We're talking about where the butcher gave the money. And now the butcher wants the money back. And the halacha is, he has to prove that the mum was there before in order to get his money back. Says Gemara, my Pascha, why do you assume that the case is where he gave the money? Says Gemara, stama de milsa, because in most cases, if the butcher did not give the money, then he would not get the animal. We assume he gave the money. We have right to assume he gave the money because that's the way business works, that nobody's giving him the animal unless he gave the money. Lo yav inish chayusa, a person would not give the behemah. Okay, Rabbi Isai? Thank you, Michael. This is one of the... Daf Ayin Vav is a pretty complex Gemara. But these are the words, and we have to review it many times. And Bez Hashem, tomorrow, next week will be regular schedule.
So, you know, back in June,
In what?
Back in June.
Yeah.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.